G20. The G stands for, gosh, that's a lot of people.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the Morning Open. Steel City, meet the economic world. Testing an AIDS vaccine, there is big hope. And that text messaging teenager, he or she is retail gold. First, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about 0.25%. Same for the NASDAQ. The Dow trading higher, 38 points now at 97.86. Shares in Europe are up less than 0.5%, and Asian markets closed mixed today. Leaders from the world's top economies are in Pittsburgh today, the group of 20 meeting to focus on how best to keep the global economy going with all those without all those financial meltdown mistakes. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He's with us live this morning right across the state in Philadelphia. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
So, yeah, you're over there in Philly. All those leaders are in Pittsburgh where PNC is based. What's the word from colleagues about this gathering?
Well, you know, I think all the colleagues I talk to are excited. You know, I lived in Pittsburgh for a number of years, and it is exciting to see Pittsburgh get showcased. I know when I first moved there, everybody thought of it as, you know, a dirty steel city, which it probably has more bankers than steel workers these days.
And can anything of significance come out of this?
You know, I think that's where it gets a little rougher. You know, obviously the focus is going to be on financial reforms, but I think what you're going to see is that unlike some of the urgency we had when at least it seemed like the globe was melting down, now that you've got a recovery, you see the differences in people's opinions, you know, come a little bit more to the surface, and the fact they're not quite as willing to maybe bend on something.
It's where the rubber meets the road, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So we got word this morning that initial jobless claims fell and the continuing claims also dropped. The job front getting better quickly.
Definitely. You know, it was good news. You know, maybe it's a little bit slower than other recessions or recover from other recessions. But, yes, good news.
All right. Bill Stone joining us from Philly this morning. Bill, thanks.
Thanks.
Researchers today are calling it a world first. It's an experimental vaccine that's cut the risk of HIV infection by nearly a third. The trial involved a combination of a couple of vaccines, one American, the other French. Marketplace's European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
So tell us more about this study.
Sponsored by the U.S. Army, it cost $100 million to carry out. It involved 16,000 volunteers in Thailand. Half took a placebo, the other half received a sort of vaccine cocktail, a combination of two vaccines, which have separately proved ineffective. Together, they apparently cut the rate of HIV infection by a third. Now, not of itself sufficient to make a proper vaccine, but this is the first time in 25 years of research that anything has proved remotely effective as a vaccine against AIDS, so it is being hailed as a breakthrough.
Yeah, and I would imagine, Stephen, there are many questions at this point as to whether it can be produced commercially, right?
Oh, very much so. I spoke to a professor of immunology in London this morning who said that scientifically this is exciting, but at this stage it may only be a vaccine that works against HIV strains prevalent in Thailand, which might limit its relevance elsewhere. And she said, we really don't know enough about how this vaccine actually worked to know whether it is going to lead on to a global vaccine. We'll have to wait till next month for a major meeting in Paris when the full results of this trial will be made public.
So much to explore going forward. Our Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard joining us this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com. And by Monsanto, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields without increasing demands on natural resources. More at ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
There's a new book that looks at the spending habits of Generation Y. It says 10 to 30-year-olds have a lot of buying power. Kit Yarrow is author of Generation Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail. She joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
I know you're the one that usually asks all the questions, but can I give it a go today?
Yes, absolutely.
Good. How many text messages do you think the average teen sends and receives every month?
Oh, I'd say maybe 150.
You would be so wrong, Steve. Ugh. It's actually 2,272.
More than 2,000 text messages a month.
Yeah, over 80 a day. Let me ask you another one.
Okay.
Who do you think is more likely to have online friends that they've never met? Teenage boys or girls?
I would say teenage boys.
You're right. I think most people would have thought it was teenage girls.
No, teenage boys are more adventurous. I know that. I was once a teenage boy eons ago, so.
Well, you're right about that, but also it's because teenage boys really, really play a lot of video games, and that's where they meet a lot of those friends.
Okay.
So the point I'm making here is how integrated technology is in Gen Y's life, and that's actually the way that marketers are more effectively reaching them, is going into the land where they live, which is online and through technology.
All right, Kit Yarra, you said you were throwing questions at me. I like this game now. What else you got?
All right, who do you think spends more money on a daily basis? This is excluding mortgages and so on. Adult Gen Yers or baby boomers?
Well, I'd have to say baby boomers.
I would have too. And guess what? The average working teen actually have more discretionary spending power than their parents do.
Why should I care about how these Gen Yers spend their money?
Well, Gen Y is the future. I mean, right now, they're the largest generation. By 2015, they'll have more spending power overall than any other generation. They'd reduce their spending less than other generations during the recession. And they're moving into those years of their life where they're buying their houses, buying cars. You know, half of them are over 20 now. They're 20 to 30, and half are between 10 and 20. So they're really the future. You have to care. There's no way a marketer cannot care about this generation.
Well, Dr. Kit Yarra, the author of Gen Buy, How Tweens, Teens, and 20-somethings Are Revolutionizing Retail, we do appreciate you speaking with us this morning.
Thanks so much, Stephen. Thanks for letting me quiz you. It was fun.
You bet. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Thursday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.